Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our day three of the session. We are fortunate today to have our colleagues from the legal service of WHO, and as we had mentioned earlier, we would start with agenda item 9 so that we are able to get their input, and then we will go back to the rest of the agenda items. And then I have the pleasure to invite the secretary to introduce the agenda item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. The agenda item 9 consists of two working documents. One document is the document that will also be presented to the Commission session next week. The document code is ARINOM 06/29/9D. The second document is exec 06/58/4. Mr. Chairman, these documents cover slightly different areas under the same agenda item. Therefore, may I suggest to take one paper at a time. The document 9D is the updated version of the equivalent document that was presented to the previous sessions of the Executive Committee and the Commission. Part A, or Section A, of this document summarizes the recent developments that took place in the area of the relations between the Codex Commission and other international intergovernmental organizations. The document recalls that the guidelines for the cooperation between Codex and international intergovernmental organizations were adopted last year by the Commission, and the same session of the Commission immediately made use of the guidelines and identified some modalities for further and close cooperation of World Organization for Animal Health. The decision of the Commission is recorded again in this working document. Implementing the decisions of the Commission, the Codex and OIE Secretariat have taken a number of joint actions already. We invited OIE to submit a paper on their activities relevant to Codex, and in some instances, the OIE representative physically participated in the Codex meetings, the meetings of Codex subsidiary bodies. As far as Codex is concerned, we have been invited by the OIE to participate in certain meetings of OIE that included OIE Working Group on Animal Production Food Safety and OIE Ad Hoc Group on Certification and OIE Ad Hoc Group on Identification and Traceability of Live Animals. My apologies. I refer to the certification, but I meant biotechnology. In this particular ad hoc group, there is no participation from Codex Secretariat, but a number of experts having a significant background in Codex have been chosen by ORE as members of this ad hoc group. We also started collaboration at the level of secretariat between Codex and IPPC. IPPC held a working group meeting on certification, including electronic certification, and member of Codex Secretariat participated in this meeting to explore ways and synergies, ways for collaboration and room for synergies between Codex and ORE, both of which have certification as an area of activities. Mr. Chairman, let me stop at this point and we'll be happy to reply to any questions from the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And basically, this is a matter for information, and I wish to invite any comments from the floor. Seeing none, then the Executive Committee notes the information provided by the Secretariat in relation to Codex collaboration with ORE and the IPPC. Can we continue, Secretary, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Section B of the same document summarizes the relations between Codex and international non-governmental organizations. In line with the request of the previous session of the Exec Committee that the Codex Secretariat should maintain communication or information exchange with the ISO Secretariat, previously to this session, we again contacted the ISO Central Secretariat as well as ISO Secretariat for Technical Committee 34 on food products. The information obtained from the ISO Secretariat Technical Committee 34 is summarized in tabulation number 1 at the end of working document. The information submitted by ISO Central Secretariat has been made available as CSC/29 inf 7 document separately. It is expected that the ISO representative will attend the Commission session next week, and if the Commission so wishes, he may present some information a bit in detail so that the Commission has an ample picture of the ISO activities that may be relevant to the work of the Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And again, this is a matter for you, but I still wish to invite any comments from the floor with regards to whether there can be room for more coordination with ISO. Seeing none, then again, the Executive Committee notes the information as provided by the Secretary. And can we continue to the next item, Secretary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 28th session of the Commission last year adopted amendments to the rules of procedure of the Commission, which resulted in a change in the way the Codex handles its relations with non-governmental organizations, and in particular in the way the Codex grants observer status to international non-governmental organizations. According to the new rules, the Executive Committee is given an opportunity to formulate its opinion when the new applications for observer status are received, by applicant organizations. And since then, several applications have been received by the Codex Secretariat. Among those, two applications have been found to be complete in terms of the information that correspond to the criteria for granting observer status. The document CX/exec 06/58/4 documents contains, therefore, two applications. The first applications came from BEUC, Bureau Européen des Unions des Consommateurs, English name is European Organization, based in Brussels. You will find the information that are presented against each item. Mr. Chairperson reminds me of one important issue at this point of time. We are now going into the detailed assessment of applications. And when we touched on the same agenda item in the last session of the Executive Committee, decided that no audio recording will be made on this particular item, but only the proceedings in writing be made public. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, at this point, through you, I would request the what decision will be taken by this committee on this point regarding audio recording. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary and Executive Committee members. That's what we in the last Executive Committee, and I hope we can still live to our earlier decision. An objection? Seeing none, then this section audio recorded. Thank you. Secretary, can you continue, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The BEUC, for the complete information, therefore, the main document contains only the information provided from BEUC. Other information provided by BEUC is found in a separate document, which is CRD number 1, section 1, information from BEUC. Since the French text is the authoritative version of its statutes, the French text was reproduced in its entirety in the first section. And you will also see member organizations of BEUC following that information. Mr. Chairman, with regard to this particular applications, the Secretariat identified a couple of issues that might merit the discussion at this committee. The first point is that BEUC, as an organization, is an affiliate member of another international non-governmental organization, which is Consumers International. Consumers International is actually one of the observers in Codex system. So there is a potential double representation issue in this particular application. This is the first point. The second point is that if when we assessed the membership of BEUC and the membership of CI, which mainly comprise of national consumer organizations. Many national consumer organizations are in fact members of both BELC and Consumers International. On page 16 of CRD 1, the Secretariat has taken the liberty to identify those national organizations that are members of both CI and the BELC. So those organizations underlined in the listing of page 16 of CRD 1 are members of both entities. In order to facilitate the assessment of how we should consider the matter of double representation, we again have taken liberty to contact both BELC, the applicant organization, and the national existing observer organization in Codex, and to clarify or whether they wish to clarify among themselves in which instances BELC wishes to participate in the Codex Alimentary Goods Commission, while CI will refrain from participating in the Codex session, and vice versa. The document, the communications, and this consultative process, informal consultative process, resulted in two submissions. One is the letter from the Consumers International that is reproduced on page 17 and 18 of conference room document number 1. The message there is therefore, well, if I could, I'm allowed to summarize the essence of the CI's message, is that CI considers that CI is always should be allowed to participate in any Codex sessions. As far as BELC is concerned, the communication received on that regard is reproduced on page 5 of /4, the working document, Executive Committee working document /4 on page 5. In this communication, BELC states that it does not seek separate or parallel representation specifically in relation to Codex meetings, but it is not in a position to state that which meeting should be represented by BELC and which meeting can be represented by CI, in which BELC has a right, may be allowed to participate as part of CI delegation. So there is no clear division that has been agreed between BELC and CI at this point of time regarding the in which way the CI and BELC wishes to represent different interests. So this is all the information we have received, and we put it forward to this committee for its opinion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and ladies and gentlemen, that's the situation, and maybe at this juncture we might wish, first of all, to address the issue of potential double representation. And as explained by the Secretary, BELC members of CI, and CI have observer status in Codex, and there is a possible or potential double representation here. And on this matter, since we have our colleagues from the WHO Legal Council, we might wish to seek their guidance. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. Maybe I can provide just a bit of context in terms of the procedural rules in this regard. The criteria for observer status and eligibility are found, of course, in the on page 35 of the procedural manual in Article 3. The issue, however, of double representation, which is a shorthand for the idea of members of larger organizations being present at the same time that the larger organizations is present, that issue is found in Article 4.2 in the very last paragraph of that article on page 37. It would be paragraph 6 of Article 4.2, or the very last paragraph. And that paragraph provides that observer status at specific meetings will not normally be granted to individual organizations that are members of a larger organization authorized and that intends to represent them at these meetings. So you have CI as the larger organization, BIUC as the member organization, and there's a general rule that provides that that observer status is generally not granted to the member organizations. And that's for reasons of efficiency. It avoids redundancy in representation. But you note the use of the word normally there provides, as a legal matter, a certain degree of flexibility. That means there's discretion that you have in analyzing this. And there are obviously a number of considerations about the nature of the representation itself, about the nature of the entity itself, considerations also about the precedent that could be established in either granting or denying observer status in a case of what is very clearly double representation. So these are the various considerations that go towards this. In terms of the mandate with respect to this, your mandate is found in this same article, Article 4.2, just two paragraphs, where the executive committee is being asked to advise the bills about the granting of observer status. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, our legal counsel. And gentlemen, I should also ask the committee to look at the letter from Consumer International. That's page 17 of CRD 1. And especially in response to issue number one raised by the Secretariat, CIA is very clear that there are no meetings of the Codex Commission or specific subsidiary bodies in which CIA expects not to participate, with the understanding that BIUC will participate in those meetings, which means still CIA maintains its observer status and intention to participate in all the meetings. And there's no question of allocation of competencies in this case. So given the explanation from the legal counsel and the reply from the Consumer International, I wish to seek the views of the committee. Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's obvious that it will be a case of precedent for further decision in this way to accept sub-organizations with observer status, and therefore I suppose we should reject this demand to take BIUC as an observer in Codex. However, we could give the advice that CI could include representatives from BIUC into their delegation Antonis or delegate them in their name and give them the opportunity to join some Codex meetings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Switzerland. What we are really saying is that Duke is well represented through CIA when CIA attends our meetings, right? Thank you. Any other observation? Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Sí, me parece que hay que ser muy cuidadoso en este aspecto. Posiblemente muchos miembros del Codex hayan tenido este problema también a nivel nacional en la creación, en la formación de los comités nacionales del Codex, donde suele haber organizaciones regionales que piden participar cuando a su vez están participando organizaciones nacionales que están dentro de esas mismas regionales. Me parece que también habría que tener en cuenta en el caso de las organizaciones no gubernamentales, ¿cómo se conforma su presupuesto? En el caso de esta ONG, me llamaba la atención el punto F de la presentación de la aplicación, donde expresa que el 47%, entre el 43 y 47% de su presupuesto proviene de fondos de la Comisión Europea. Y digo que esto me llamaba la atención y me preocupa en parte, porque esto podría generar a nivel del Codex un conflicto de intereses en la expresión de las opiniones, y me parece que es algo en lo que se debería ser también cuidadoso. Creo que se debería analizar más el tema.
Thank you, Argentina, and I would have appreciated if you could have addressed the issue of double representation and give you a clear view whether you would prefer Duke to be granted observer status or Duke to be part of CI. If you are just clear, and I wish whoever is trying to be clear on, and just give us a clear position, please. First, the potential double representation. Argentina, please.
Como les decía, a nosotros nos ha ocurrido en el Comité Nacional y yo entiendo que en realidad si forman parte de Consumer International, la opinión debe ser hecha a través de Consumer. De lo contrario, estarían posiblemente opinando dos veces sobre el mismo tema. Gracias.
Oui, merci, Monsieur le Président. Monsieur le Président, tout d'abord pour dire qu'en tant qu'Européenne, cette organisation, le BEUC, est évidemment une organisation pour nous extrêmement bien connue puisque elle est l'organisation de représentation des consommateurs de référence au niveau de la communauté européenne. Donc nous les connaissons. Il est clair pour nous que cette organisation très crédible dans le cadre de la représentation de la défense des intérêts des consommateurs. Cela étant dit, le problème qui nous préoccupe aujourd'hui est effectivement ce problème de double représentation. L'expérience des années précédentes nous a déjà démontré qu'à diverses reprises, lors de réunions du Codex, Consumer International faisait appel au BEUC pour le représenter dans un certain nombre de réunions qui se passaient dans les pays européens, vraisemblablement le plus souvent pour des raisons d'économie de coût de participation à ces réunions. Donc, sur le plan pragmatique, il y a déjà depuis de nombreuses années une collaboration très étroite entre Consumer International, le BEUC, et le cas échéant même des organisations nationales de défense du consommateur qui sont membres et du BEUC et de Consumer International, ainsi que l'annexe l'a démontré. Donc je dirais que pragmatiquement, le BEUC participe déjà en tant que tel aux réunions du Codex, mais sous le chapeau Consumer International. ce qui ne résout toujours pas la question, est-ce que nous devons accepter de donner au BEUC en tant que tel l'organisation d'observateurs. Les règles qui figurent dans le manuel de procédure sont des règles relativement récentes. Il existe, je n'ai pas le chiffre exact en tête, mais il existe de très nombreuses organisations non gouvernementales qui ont au codex un statut d'observateur. Statut d'observateur qui leur a été accordé sans que ne soient respectées toutes ces nouvelles règles. Je suis personnellement loin d'être convaincu que cette double représentation n'existe pas déjà pour toute une série d'organisations qui actuellement ont le statut d'observateur. Si ça devait être le cas, ce serait évidemment discriminatoire vis-à-vis de la demande du BEUC que nous avons aujourd'hui. Donc je pense que c'est un élément que nous devons également prendre en considération en tant que comité exécutif, et je pense que c'est un élément que les directeurs généraux des deux organisations devraient également prendre en considération lorsqu'ils devront finalement décider, oui ou non, d'accorder le statut d'observateur tel que demandé par le BEUC. Donc voilà ce que je voulais faire comme remarque, Monsieur le Président. Cela étant dit, nous n'avons pas d'objection en ce qui nous concerne à ce que le BEUC reçoive le statut d'observateur, mais ça nous n'aurions pas non plus de problème si le comité devait décider que cela devrait se faire dans le cadre de l'arrangement avec Consumer International, qui est l'association coupole des organisations de défense des consommateurs au niveau mondial. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Belgium. WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't be speaking for or against BEUC as an NGO. I just wanted to make the point that I think the funding issue, whether a consumer organization gets funds from a government, I don't think that's really relevant here. We know that in some countries, consumer organizations are fully funded from government. And I don't believe that we say that these organizations then have a conflict of interest or anything like that. So I think that should not be part of it, from that point of view at least. Then I would just make the point also that it seems that one of the big strengths of Codex is that everybody is at the table, and it's very important to have consumers at the table. We seem to see now problems for some of the consumer organizations to participate. So maybe that should also be considered when a decision is taken here, that it is important to have consumers at the table. Then I would point out that if there is a perception of double representation, then maybe if the committee would want to include BEUC, then maybe there would need to be some clear guidelines when they are speaking and when CI are speaking. And then, of course, people will say this is very complicated, but actually it's not so complicated. It's already happening in Codex because of EU, isn't it? At every meeting we have to be told, you know, when is EU speaking and when are the countries speaking. And the same could happen in relation to this if the committee wanted to have the representation of BEUC, maybe. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what the Executive Committee should look at is what is the interest of Codex and of in Codex. If we believe that the participation of consumer organizations in the work of Codex is something essential for the credibility of the output of Codex, I think we should then look at this this application, and also at the application of the rules that we have, which are not very rigid. They leave some layer, some way for the Executive Committee and the Director General of the WHO to take a decision that would go along the the support for the work of Codex. I think if you believe that, then consumer participation in Codex is essential, is important, we should look at this type of application in a favorable manner, rather than limiting this participation and applying certain rules rigidly when they have not been applied in the past so rigidly. So I think this type of consideration must be kept in mind in our deliberations here. Thank you.
Thank you for you. Correa, please. Could you do something for Korea, Mike, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On behalf of the Asian coordinator, with the consultation of the member of Asia, I would like to bring the attention that it is still unclear that manners the Commission will benefit by approving the observer status to the BEUC. Yeah, well, as Secretary already mentioned, that when we see in this application, it has stated that the Consumer International will have the lead role in relation to the consumer representation at the Codex. So it is the fully entitled and the committed to bring its concern to attention through the Consumer International. And it seems to me it does not really need to separate the representations. And secondly, we are very concerned that if we accept in this application, we would be bound in future to consider application of the similar organizations from Asia, Africa, Latin America, in fact, from the older regions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Correa. Egypt, please.
Shukran, Sayyid al-Rais. أنا لست مع أو ضد انضمام منظمة المستهلكين الأوروبيين، ولكن أعتقد أن هذا الموضوع يحتاج إلى مزيد من الدراسة، لأنه بنجد أنه على المستهلكين بنشرك المستهلكين في لجان الكودكس على المستوى القطري، لأنه ما من شك أن العائد من ردود الأفعال الناتجة عن لجان الكودكس القطرية والمواصفات الغذائية بصفة خاصة بتجد اهتمام. I can speak in English until they okay. But I should start from the beginning actually. Should I continue in Arabic?
Yes.
Okay. بنشرك المستهلكين على المستوى القطري في أعمال no okay 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 I can talk in English it's no problem it's okay
Spanish
okay no I can't speak in Spanish but I can speak in English In fact, as we recognize actually regional activities, even in Codex, we have the coordinating committees regionally because every region has its own problems, its own interests. In for regional interest is of quite importance in Codex. Also in the national Codex activities, we ask consumer associations and unions to share in our activities in national codex activity. Therefore, I can see actually there are benefits from having regional consumer associations in this in codex. The issue needs more studies to have the how the double interests, the double representation, and to have rules to govern when other organizations regionally ask us to be observers in Codex, how this can be handled. Because we have in the Arab region, we have the Arab Association for Consumers. They are very active. They have interests. They gave impact in our activities in Arab standardization. Therefore, I can see benefits from being observers in Codex, but at the same time, it needs more rules, more control in this issue. Therefore, my conclusion is not to say no, not to say yes in this moment, but to have more studies in this issue. We may have benefits from, and especially this European organization, I know that it's a strong organization. It has interests in the European standards and European implementation of standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Egypt. Cameroon, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. J'étais en train de, en même temps qu'on discutait, j'étais en train de regarder les devoirs et les obligations d'une organisation internationale non gouvernementale par rapport au Codex. Et je regardais également tout ce que le BEUG, l'élément de représentativité du BEUG à l'intérieur de l'Europe et son rapport avec Consumer International. Et je me suis référé aussi à un certain nombre de faits qui existent au sein de la FAO concernant la représentativité des membres au sein de l'Union ou de l'Union européenne. Et très souvent, dans les réunions, il y a une déclaration de base par rapport à l'ordre du jour pour ce qui concerne, par exemple, l'Union européenne, de désigner quel membre va parler en son nom. Bon, quand je lis la lettre de Consumer International, elle m'a mis un peu dans la confusion par rapport à ce processus. Parce que Consumer, je pensais qu'il pouvait nous dire que même s'ils sont présents à deux dans une même réunion, si on donne le statut d'observateur à BEUG et qu'ils se présentent tous les deux dans une même réunion, ils peuvent prendre sur eux de désigner qui pourra préparer un papier et faire des déclarations au nom de tous les deux. Bon, je ne sais pas si le secrétariat peut continuer à demander à BEUG ou bien à Consumer International si c'est une chose faisable. C'est-à-dire que on donne un statut si on donne le statut d'observateur à BEUG, est-ce que, en tant qu'organisme APEX, Consumer International peut, au moment de participer à une réunion, désigner BEUG pour parler en son nom sur une question précise de l'ordre du jour? Parce qu'en ce moment-là, on lui demanderait donc une déclaration avant le début de la réunion, qui serait donc consignée dans le procès verbal de la réunion. Ça, ce serait une manière un peu de contourner le problème. Parce que moi, je ne vois vraiment pas de raison pour laquelle on refuserait le statut d'observateur à un organisme comme le BEUC. Sincèrement, quand je regarde, il remplit toutes les conditions. Ensuite, il a l'avantage de représenter toute une région. Bon, maintenant, le comité exécutif est en train de se pencher sur cette question. C'est difficile pour la question de double représentativité, mais ça peut être contourné, parce que nous avons un précédent, ou bien nous avons un cas qui se passe au sein de la FAO, avec entre l'Union européenne et ses États membres. Voilà un peu ce que je voulais dire, Monsieur le Président. Je vous remercie.
Thank you, Cameroon, but I thought the secretary explained that he had written to the two organizations asking for declaration of competencies, and their answer was CIA was not willing to accept delegation or differentiation of competencies in the meetings. Maybe, secretary, you could explain that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Appendix 1 of the /4 document shows that the original application from BEUC was received in October 2004, or nearly 2 years ago. The reason why it took such relatively long time for the Secretariat to present this application to the Exec Committee is due to the fact that we maintained several communications with BELC and with CI, and also I personally talked to the CI delegation in one of the Codex sessions and invited them to engage in a proactive dialogue with BELC. So we did what the efforts what we could do at our discretion to facilitate the consultation between the two constituencies in questions. Again, the holding a matter and asking BELC and CI to reach a more mutually agreeable arrangement may or may not result in further clarification or better division of responsibility or competence between two entities. But it might again take some time, and it might not result in any further clarification beyond what we have as information at this stage. But it is up to the committee to make recommendations to FAO and WHO. Thank you.
So, Samoa, please. Kamara, you still have the floor?
Yes.
Sorry, Samoa, if we can... you are on the clarification from the Secretary. Okay.
Oui, je m'excuse, Samoa. Monsieur le Président, je le disais tout à l'heure que la réponse à la lettre du secrétariat, la réponse de Consumer International, j'étais un peu confus là-dedans. Parce que moi, je fais référence à la déclaration sur des points concernant un nom ici à une réunion précise où participerait Consumer International et PERC. Bon, la lettre ici, les réponses ont trait à faire une déclaration a priori sur la distribution des réunions. C'est un peu comme ça que j'étais en train de voir la lettre de consensus sur la distribution des réunions. C'est-à-dire que Consumer International va participer à telle réunion, BERC va participer à telle autre réunion. Mais je pense qu'on ne peut pas leur imposer une restriction. Tous les deux peuvent participer. Si on leur donne un mandat d'observateur, ils sont donc tous les deux observateurs et peuvent parler, ils peuvent participer à toutes les réunions. Bon, maintenant, nous pouvons leur imposer une méthode en disant que, bon, nous savons que, bon, il y a double possibilité de double représentativité. Lorsque vous venez à une réunion à deux, nous ne voulons pas que tous les deux vous interveniez chacun des points de l'ordre du jour. Vous devez nous faire une déclaration au début de la réunion disant qui intervient dans une question précise de l'ordre du jour, au nom de vous deux. Vous comprenez un peu ce que la nuance que moi j'apporte là, c'est-à-dire qu'il n'y a pas moyen de clarifier avant ou bien avant, au départ, quelles sont les réunions auxquelles l'un ou l'autre devrait participer. C'est pour ça que je disais que cette réponse me donnait un peu de confusion. On peut prendre la référence de l'Union européenne et de ses États membres. Quand on arrive en réunion, on nous dit, bon, voilà, je ne sais pas moi, l'Autriche va parler au nom de l'Union européenne sur telle question de l'ordre du jour. Et quand cette question arrive, c'est l'Autriche qui représente toute l'Union européenne. Mais on ne dira jamais que l'Autriche ne va pas participer à une réunion parce que l'Union européenne n'est pas là. Elle est là. Donc c'est pour faire la nuance à ce niveau. Il s'agit des réunions particulières. Je vous remercie.
Thank you. Cameroon, Samoa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm inclined to think that this issue is not so much about CI or Buick, but it's a simple matter of policy whether we should allow multiple double and multiple representation or not. With particular reference to the EU, I think that's different because we're talking about member states. In this particular case, we're talking about observer status. And I think it's a simple matter of deciding whether it's in the best interest of Codex to allow double and multiple representation or not. And if the answer is yes, we should proceed with it. If no, then... But I think it's important to for the Secretariat to look into whether there is precedence in this particular case, other than the question of the EU, particularly with reference to observer status. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Samuel. But you did not help us much because you did not put your position clear whether you see clear double representation, whether you would recommend BIC to be granted observer status or to be represented through CI. Samuel, please.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I was reluctant to make a position on that one, but now that you put the question to me, I'm inclined to suggest that we do not rule in favor of multiple representation. We can foresee a lot of problems with that, as already mentioned by other speakers. I think it's up to CI and other umbrella organizations to determine among themselves who will represent their views in a meeting of Codex. Because if we allow Buick if we allow them observer status, then there is a possibility that there could be an application by another affiliate organization of CI. And then we compound the problem even further. I'm inclined of a ruling in favor of not accepting multiple representation. Thank you.
Thank you. Morocco, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. J'allais intervenir un petit peu dans le même sens que le représentant du Cameroun. Je pense que sur l'opportunité, la question ne devrait pas être posée puisque, comme tout le monde l'a dit, on ne peut être que favorable à la participation des consommateurs aux travaux du Codex. Personne ne peut être contre une participation dynamique et active des consommateurs. J'aurais souhaité que l'avis juridique soit tranchant. Malheureusement, cet avis ne nous avance pas beaucoup parce que, à mon avis, c'est une question purement juridique qui se pose par rapport au règlement intérieur. Est-ce que des organisations du type BUC ont, d'après leur statut, tout ce que nous avons vu, le droit d'accéder aux travaux du Codex en tant qu'observateur, oui ou non? Cette question, donc, on n'a pas reçu une réponse. Ça veut dire que le règlement intérieur n'est pas clair et qu'il va falloir le réviser pour l'avenir. C'est très important. Et donc, je crois que si la question qui est posée aujourd'hui, c'est la double représentativité, moi je considère que cette question est déjà dépassée puisque nous avons déjà admis donc la double représentativité à condition de ne pas parler deux voix différentes. Moi je crois que qu'on ait affaire à des membres ou à des observateurs, c'est un peu le même principe. Et donc si la question qui est posée est donc d'éviter une double voix, je dirais envoyer la balle aux consommateurs internationaux et au BUC de nous faire parvenir une proposition pour nous assurer qu'ils vont parler d'une voix unique donc qui représente les consommateurs. Et donc, il faut examiner. Mais le consommateur international peut tout à fait être représenté par BUC. Et je sais que le consommateur international a été représenté dans plusieurs réunions du Codex par des organisations régionales de consommateurs et par même des délégués d'associations de consommateurs nationales. Donc c'est ça, je crois que c'est... Il faut absolument qu'on s'assure que lorsqu'ils viennent à une réunion, ils parlent au nom donc des consommateurs et qu'ils ne parlent pas deux voix différentes, mais leur présence ne poserait pas de problème en même temps dans des réunions du Codex. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Morocco. Switzerland, he wants to come back again, but maybe...
Yes, I come because there were a lot of very important items in this discussion. I believe it is a legal question, and if it is a legal question, we have to apply as rules equally on all observers. There's a fundamental difference between European Union and observers, I suppose. We have to apply it in the same way on all observers. If we don't we do not behave like this, we lose a lot of credibility against consumer organizations. And if we come to the conclusion that double representations should be avoided, then we have to go back also to all other observer organizations to look whether big companies are represented in several organizations, and then to look whether there are double representations which should be avoided and which we should correct of the new regulation of the procedural manual. Therefore, I think we need this base of decision before we can give a definite advice concerning this question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Zisland. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm inclined to start trying to summarize. First of all, we all agree, the Executive Committee agree that the participation of consumer organizations in the CODES process is important. So that is very clear. Secondly, we have also seen that there is an advantage for regional representation in CODEX process, whether through member states or through observer organizations. And third, we have also noted that there are rules governing the granting of observer status to non-government organizations, as has been clarified by our WHO legal counsel. And we shall make reference to the respective clauses or paragraphs quoted in the procedural manual. And then with regards to the request of BUC specifically, we have noted that they are members of Consumer International. They are members of the Consumer International. And also, they have membership, which is also membership of Consumer International. As it was pointed out by the Secretary, that some members of the BUC are also members of Consumer International. And also we have received communication from both Consumer International. I think I will mention in full instead of, you know, saying in abbreviation, I get to go to boundaries that I shouldn't go. So we have received communication from Consumer International and also from BUC, and it's not very clear with regards to acceptance of distribution of mandates or competencies in when it comes to representation in different CODEX sessions. We have also noticed that there are some consumer organizations which we are granted observer status before coming to force the rule, the governing rules for granting observer status, which were pointed out by the legal counsel. So would really wish, before we are able to make a clear recommendation, that we ask for further study on this situation where we have rules, new rules applicable to granting of observer status to non-government organizations, and we have organizations which had been granted observer status before the enforcement of the rules. Let's come up with a clear policy and direction on how to continue when we get this sort of requests. And for that matter, we are unable to make recommendation as to whether we should accept or not accept the request by BUC for being granted observer status. I hope that is a fair summary of the discussion in the room. And I seek the concurrency of the Executive Committee to this conclusion that until that time we get more information, and until that time we come up with a clear policy on how to handle such a request, we are unable to place the Directors General of FAO and WHO whether they should accept or not accept the application or the resubmission by Duke. Canada, please.